was here just before we started share again. Last week I brought a few sfarim mentioning which we could study the halachot of Shemitah out of. Another sefer which is not recommended for the halacha lemaise, but very good in explaining the basic concepts of Shemitah, Heter Mechira, and all the actual topics. Is a sefer written by Rav Zevin, who lived, I think he died in the 70s, I think, sometime. And he was a very important rabbi in Yerushalayim. And he, again, Hebrew, writes very fluently. And he has 5 chapters summarizing all the basic topics of Shemitah, the Isurim we spoke about, the main concepts, Shemitah Bezman Azev, Shemitah Zoraita, the Rabbanan. We have Inyanim of the Heter Mechira and all different things, more in the Lomdish, more like elaborating the ideas behind it, and less the Halach Lamaise, but it's a good summary, and it's a good introduction, I would say, when people don't know the concepts at all, to go through. So this is also a good sefer. Le'ora Alacha, it's called. So it's, I mean, it has also another different, a lot of topics in it also, but a few dozen pages are on the Shemitah topic, so it's worth taking a look there. Whoever has a sefer can put his hands on the sefer. The sefer. Okay, so last 2 weeks we spoke about planting and about most of the things regarding gardening. A few questions were asked, and I'm not going to refer to them in the shiur specifically. Today I would like to give the third shiur and the final shiur about the things that we can or can't do in our garden or field, whoever has anyone, but I don't think so, but in general in the garden. last year we dealt into halachot regarding to the garden and Shemitah, and the next 2 shiurim I hope we have we'll try and short as quick as possible to speak about the fruits themselves, about buying fruits, about how to fruits and vegetables, and how to buy them in Shemitah, what do we eat, what don't we eat, and how to eat them properly. So regard to gardening, we mentioned there are 4 prohibitions that the Torah mentions that are the oraita. Sadcha lo tizra v'charmecha lo tizmor, etzfiach tzircha lo tiktzor v'timnevei nezirecha lo tivtzor, shnat shabbaton yeh la'aretz. That's what the Torah tells us at the beginning of Parshat Behar. So we spoke about zri'ah, planting, and we spoke about zmirah, pruning, which are both provisions from the Oraita, and we spoke last week about the rest of the gardening things that are from the Rabbanan, but watering, weeding, taking the stones out of the field or the garden, and all the rest. Today, what I would like to speak about is about picking the fruits. That's the point. I would, when the Torah says Sadcha, so you're not allowed to harvest, not the wheat or the all the rest fruits or the vines. So that is on one hand. So we can think, okay, we're supposed to leave all the fruits on the trees. That would what we would think if we would stop at that point in the pasuk. But the pasuk right after that says, that means the land is supposed to rest on one hand, but on the other hand, we're supposed to eat the fruits. So there's a good question, how are we supposed to eat the fruit if we're not allowed to pick it off the tree? So someone could say maybe you should eat it right off the tree, but it's not very practical, not recommended. So there are a few... So regarding this lichora contradiction between the psukim, on one hand, not to pick the fruits, lo tiktzor, lo tivtzor, on one hand, and on the other hand, there are different opinions, different terutzim, and the Rishonim had to solve this problem. But Rashi says, and this is what we hold also to halacha, and we'll explain exactly how to do it. Lemaise, Rashi says, "Lo tiktzor liot machzik bo kishar katzir el hefker yel hakol." Rashi explains that when the Torah says not to harvest not to reap the fruit, or the produce of the land, It doesn't mean not to touch it. It means that it should be hefker. That means don't make a business out of it. Don't act as an owner of the land, as a person who has fields and collects all the fruits and sells them at whatever price, and that's what it makes a living from. That is not what we're supposed to do. But lo tikzol liot machzik bo. You shouldn't harvest it to be holding it, like to hold it as an owner. That is the point. But it should be hefker. It should be free to own. And we'll get to speaking about otzar beitin, the whole concept of otzar beitin, where we a lot of the work in the land is done as usual, but it's done in a way that a person works in the land not as his own land, but as a messenger of the beitin, as a shliach beitin, and where the land belongs to all of Am Yisrael, and the fruit is distributed equally or very reasonable prices that only cover the expenses to anybody who wants to receive it. And in that way, a person is not making a business out of his land, but using the fruit so that everybody could eat from it. So basically, what the Torah is telling us, lo tikzol kederech hakotzrim, don't harvest in a way that a person usually harvests as an owner, but you can do ktira in a way which is not like an owner who not as the owner of the land. That is the idea or the main concept behind the isur of ktira on regular fruits or vegetables or any parts of the land, and ktira of the vines. So that is the basic concept of the isur. Lemaise, how does this come into practice? So the Rambam tells us in Hilchot Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Daled Halacha Aleph, וזה שאמר, תספיח כצירך לא תקצור, שלא יקצור כדרך שקוצר בכל שנה. Don't harvest like you harvest every year. ואם קצר כדרך הקוצרים, לוקה. זה איסר דור, right? זה איסר דור, right? זה איסר דור. כגון ש... Now, what does it mean, לקצור כדרך הקוצרים? We said, we're not supposed to harvest like an owner of the land. So what is like an owner, what is not like an owner? What does this mean practically? So the Rambam says, אם קצר כדרך הקוצרים, לוקה. כגון שקצר כל השדה, והעמיד קרי ודש בבקר. That means if a person harvests all of his field in one go, so then that's called לקצור כדרך הקוצרים. או שקצר לעבודת הארץ, אלא קוצר. So what should a person do? אלא קוצר מעט מעט וחובט ואוכל. If we were talking about wheat or barley, so ספר שופטים, הנה גדעון חובט חיטים בגת, they used to bang on the, I guess, on the wheat just to take out the seeds, the not the seeds, the grain out of the kernels. Thank you. So take the kernels out. So kotzer me'at me'at. That means the Rambam says we have to have a shinui. What is this shinui? You have to do it different than the way we're used to. So what is the shinui? The Rambam says me'at me'at. Don't take big quantities every time, but take just bit by bit. V'chovet ve'ochel, bit by bit. That is one opinion, what the shinui is. So that is, according to the Rambam, the shinui is that we don't take a big quantity, but we take small quantities. That means if we want to pick fruits off our trees in the garden, okay, so in that case, we don't take everything in one go, but we take bit by bit. We'll soon see mamash lemaise. Another opinion that we've shown him is that the shinui is not in the quantity we're taking, but a shinui in the way we pick it. That means if in a regular year I would pick my oranges off the tree or whatever with shears or I don't know what a person uses in his house. I'm talking about regular gardens. People have fruit. Anybody have a fruit tree in his garden? Right. Okay. So what would you usually pick it with?
My hands.
Your hands. Okay. Set it. So if you set it. But anyway, in general.
Hands on a chair.
No, 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 no. It's. Well,
get the kids to do it.
two people together. No, okay, no, that's on Shabbat. In any case, the Shinui, according to the other different Rishonim, that are Cholek on the Rambam, the Shinui is the change we do is that we pick in a different way. That means if a person would usually pick it with shears, so you pick it with a hand or in any other way. The Maise, if you usually pick it with your hand or something like that, so then you don't have to do the shinui. You can still pick it with your hands, and you don't have to shinui in the way you're picking. But the Maise, we have to do a shinui in the quantity. Now, What is ma'at?
You do have to do
it. Yeah. That means the shinui in the way you're picking it, you usually pick it with shears or something like that, so then pick it with your hands or with a knife and not with the scissors, not with the shears, something like that. Okay? But if anyway you pick it in a way that there's no point in the left hand or thing like that. There's not since the Rambam didn't mention the shinui at all, and only part of the Rishonim mentioned it, so it's not obligatory to have that shinui in the way you're picking. The main shinui that has to be is the shinui in the quantity of which means how much you pick in each go, and what is when we talk about me'at and arbe. As our physics teacher and used to in the physics lesson used to say is a millimeter small or big. Is it a big measurement or a small measurement? And whatever you would say, he says, it depends related to what. So related to kilometer is small, related to micro, we call it, okay? So it's large. So again, when we read in the Rambam, me'at and arbe, you know, it could vary very much what me'at and arbe is. So for that we have the Chazon Ish. And so the Chazon Ish writes... The Chazon Ish writes as follows in his Halachos on Shvi'it: Mutar lelaket mehem leachila, pick it for eating obviously, but lo yilaket harbe bevat achat, ela loket kishiur she'adam mechin beveito letashmish bnei beito liyamim muatim. That means you take as much as you need for your household for a few days. You're like picking the lemons off the tree. So how many lemons do you use a week? 3-4 lemons. Unless you're making lemonade every day in the summer. But in general, just as much as you need for a few days, pick them, and don't pick, like, even if lemons could hold for 3 weeks, you know, so don't pick 20 lemons off the tree, even if they're ripe and everything, just pick as much as you need. One of the most important points is here that in picking, even though we said we're allowed to pick off the tree with a shinui, it's only for uses of eating. As the Torah says, since we're talking about fruits that have Kedushat Shvi'it, and then there are Shemitah fruits, and they have Kedushah, and next week Kedushat Shem will speak about all the implications of this Kedushat Shvi'it, but since we're dealing now with picking, since we're talking about fruits that have Kedushat Shvi'it in them, so the Torah says, Le'ochla, use for eating. That means we don't pick them for any other use other than eating. Okay? That has got to do with picking the fruits. Yeah.
Certain trees, like peach trees, all the fruit ripens at one time, and if it's not picked, olech leibud. Can you pick all of it, like to, and then make it hefka, like tell all your neighbors to come get it? If it's not picked, it's...
We'll speak soon about making. So the next topic was we're making the hefka. So we'll talk about that. Sorry. It's a mitzvah to make hefka. Adraba.
The fact that the fruit needs to be for eating,
right.
It has to be for eating. Everything else has got an issur of picking, so it's got.
I mean, I'm trying to think of other uses. I mean, if you'd want to make
the
a
thing that, the thing that right,
you want to hang it in your sukkah. No,
thing, no. The thing,
right,
that,
okay.
Thing that springs to mind as a possible nafkamina is that. I'm not a big expert on this at all, but apparently the leaves, bay leaves, things are leaves that are used to season. That are not actually eaten.
Well, that's for food. I know, well, that's for food.
So it's still
that's
a
their
food,
use.
It's not a consumption.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. But next week or in Tucson, we'll speak also what types of things that grow, what type of plants have kushat shvit and what not. Not every plant has. So I think, if I remember right, that plants that are if made for seasoning do have kushat shvit in them. So that's a good question. Sure, you can use this for making food. Sure, that's what it's made for. Okay, I mean, it's a good question. What do you do after you use it? Like, if you throw it out regularly, last, we'll speak about that.
And if you're taking a small amount every once a week, you have to be mafrish every time.
Not mafrish. No. No. Shmita. Shmita. Hefker. Hefker is patur mitumot
ma'asot. So, what
about
leket pay and shifcha?
I don't think so. It's hefker lakol. The point of te'ah, the whole point of leket shichacha and te'ah is that you're taking everything for yourself. So put masach nasah, you know, yituach lumi. Okay. As far as I remember, it's a good question. As far as I remember, I don't remember specifically. I mean, I don't want to answer you offhandedly without responsibility. But makes sense that if everybody could take from it, so what's the point in leaving peah from something that anyway? You're not allowed to harvest all of it anyway. I said adrabah, peah is when you're harvesting all your field, so you have to leave a bit at the end. But here, to harvest the whole field is isur d'oraita. You're not allowed to harvest everything. It contradicts. The whole point of leaving lekash echav pass for the poor people, and shmita, everything is left for everybody to take. Okay.
Can I ask a question, even though it's a little bit off topic.
You can ask the question all the time. Full answer is another.
So on the orla.
Right.
You have to leave it on the tree, or you have to.
Well, orla is asur b'hanah. Orla is asur b'hanah, regardless of shnat shmita. So then.
Have to do shnat shmita.
Good question,
you let it rot on the tree, or do you have to pick it and let it rot?
Why would you have to pick it? Why would you have to pick it anyway?
It falls down and it makes such a mess. Really?
So after a while, you clear it up. But it's asur b'hanah. Orla is asur b'hanah b'chol mikre. So what's the point of picking it anyway?
I don't know. It's not a design that you start to shach feed and you let it rot on the tree.
What do you do every year? It's Orla. I don't know. What do you do in the second year of Orla if it's not shmita? What are you doing? I'm asking, what are you doing a regular year for Orla? So you let it rot. So it's anything shmita. What's the thing? So, same thing, okay? MLS.
You probably have to hang a sign on it saying, Orla, do not pick. Is it Hefka? People might think they can.
Oh, wait a second. Wait a second. Okay, let's move on. Okay. Now, an important point to point out here is that we're talking about the Isser to pick the fruits in large quantities, or picking it only for the purpose of eating. We spoke about planting, we spoke about all the other gardening issues. When we ask ourselves, what is the time, what is the time span that these isurim are valid? So, in all the gardening, watering, planting and all that, that's valid from the first of Tishrei. I mean, planting, we said that certain trees we have to finish planting them 2 weeks before Shemitah or a month and a half before Shemitah, depends if it's fruit trees or not. And we can't plant till the Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year, okay, which is the first year of the next cycle. I mean, all during the Shemitah year, we can't plant or water only according to the rules we set last year. What happens with picking the fruits? Here, picking the fruits, and here we come back to the concept we spoke about at the beginning of this year, is that the whole point of the Isser to do Ketzira is that it has to be Hefker for everybody, and it's because of the Kedushat Shvi'it that is in the fruit or in the vegetables that were planted before Shemitah. So, according to that, we know the Kedushat Shvi'it does not apply to fruits that are on the trees in Shemitah. That's not the rule. Okay? That means picking the Shemitah fruits, it's not Isser of picking fruits on Shemitah, but it's Isser of picking Shemitah fruits. Now, when we're talking about fruits, and this is a word I couldn't find a translation for, chanata, and the fruit starts to
flower.
No, not the flower. No. It's before. It's like
the
fruit starts coming.
It's coming out.
Not the bud. The bud is what the flower comes out.
And then underneath the flower is the fruit.
The kids are.
What?
We got it.
You got it? Okay. When the fruit starts to get into shape, okay? It starts shaping small. Okay? Is that
it?
Okay? No, because when I looked up Hanata, the dictionary said mummifying, so it wasn't that. So I knew it. So, no, that's Hanita. That's something else. Okay. Okay, so do we go by according to Hanata? That means that the fruits that started growing a bit in the 6th year, so it'll be the fruit will be ripe in the 7th year, but that's not a Shemitah fruit, because the date that determines if it's a Shemitah fruit or not is the date of the Chanata. And that means fruits that had the Chanata in the 6th year before Rosh Hashanah, okay, that means they're not Shemitah fruits. That means on Shemitah itself, that means the fruits that are going to grow in the beginning of Shemitah, okay, the first probably first 3 months of the year, and tables come out also, B'zrat Hashem, I'll distribute them also whoever doesn't have them. Table exactly what dates, till what dates each fruit, when does the Kedushat Shvid and the fruit start. So that means that if the fruits have started growing in the sixth year, basically. So even though they're only going to ripen in the seventh year, so we can be in a Hanukkah time in the seventh year, there's no Easter to pick them at all. They can pick them just as usual, okay? Because it's not a Shemitah fruit. On the other hand, fruits that started growing in the Shemitah year, they're only going to ripen in the eighth year, so we have to watch out, okay? They're going to be Shemitah fruits, and we have to be watch out. In the eighth year, we're going to have to keep Kedushat Shvid in them. Same thing with consuming fruits, which we're going to speak about exactly what to do. But in general, the problem with consuming Shemitah fruits starts only about in the middle of the year, or Hanukkah time, or Tu B'Shvat time, and onward, and ends in the middle of the eighth year. Okay, it depends which fruit and what times. Whereas vegetables, we determine the Kedushat Shvid by when we pick them. So therefore, any vegetables that obviously we don't plant any vegetables on Shemitah, okay? And vegetables that are planted on Shemitah or grow on their own that weren't planted before Shemitah, or at least a certain amount of time before Shemitah, I'll explain next time. Any vegetable that wasn't planted ahead of time before Shemitah has a sul sfechim. We're not allowed to eat it at all. Okay, not even Kedushat Shvid, we don't eat it all. But vegetables that we cannot eat on Shemitah, that means we determine the Kedushat Shvid by when we pick them, not when they started growing. So therefore, any picking vegetables on Shemitah, vegetables that we're allowed to eat on Shemitah that have Kedushat Shvid, then it has to be kept between, just like we said before, between Aleph Tishrei and the end of Elul, of Shemitah, and not like fruits of the tree.
Okay, I know this might sound like a ridiculous question. How do you define a vegetable?
That's a billion-dollar question. Right.
The reason why I say that is a tomato, biologically, is really a fruit, not a vegetable. But we commonly call it a vegetable.
Okay, there are a few definitions in Halacha of fruits and vegetables. There's about three or four topics where Halacha deals with this, and we deal with it when we have to make a Borei Pri Eitz or Borei Pri Adama. That's one place. Another place is Kilayim, the Halachas of Kilayim, and Orla, because Orla applies only to trees. And also Shemitah, it makes a difference. There's different definitions brought in the Mishnah and the Gemara for different types of for Kilayim and for Orla and for Borei Pri Eitz, Borei Pri Adama. It's not always the same definition in Halacha. In this case, I reckon that tomato is considered a vegetable. In the biological definition, I don't know what the biologist defined as a fruit. So the fact that it's considered biologically a fruit, but it's considered as a vegetable. Halakhically, as far as I know, it's considered as a vegetable. Okay, the something doesn't grow on a long-standing tree. Is considered a vegetable. There's certain things that there's a debate about, something that grow on bushes or things like that. But I mean, at least with brachas, which I'm more familiar with, the definitions, and there's blueberries and strawberries and raspberries. Everything has a different.
If vegetables are based on the time of picking, is the soim only on the seventh year, not the eighth year?
Right. I mean, vegetable is usually a 1 year thing. It's not a you plant them and you harvest them. You don't they don't grow on their own. So basically that's the way it grows. So that's the way it works. Basically, the vegetables we'll elaborate more on the further shiurim. Is some vegetables we're not allowed to eat at all, and some vegetables have kedushat shvid. It depends when they were planted and how they grew. If they grew on their own or
there's no kedushat when they were planted.
There is.
You have to wait a certain period after.
No, I mean, if something was planted on Shemitah or not planted enough time ahead of Shemitah, it's not only a Shemitah fruit, it's a sul. You're not allowed to eat it at all.
What about the eighth year after? It might be
planted. Better. I mean, if it's something that's planted on Shemitah, forget it. You're not supposed. I mean, how's that going
to be? A day into the new year.
Sure. We'll talk about consuming. We'll speak about that, okay? Also, everything today is very organized. All the organizations who deal with agriculture and halacha, publish tables and things with everything, has every fruit and vegetable has its date. All you have to do is stick it on your fridge and just watch it once a week to take a look, and you know what to do.
You mentioned with the new year of when you count from, you know, when a fruit is a shmita. Is it from Rosh
Hashanah
or from Rosh
Hashanah? No, Shmita the Chanata, as far as I remember, is from before Rosh Hashanah. Okay? Therefore, the fruits that are before Rosh Hashanah, with Shmita, I think, goes Rosh Hashanah. For other halachot, it goes by Tu Bishvat. Okay? So that's with regard to the dates. We're talking about the Isur of picking. Okay, what about letting anybody into your garden? Right, yeah. Okay, so the Torah says in Sefer Shemot and Parshat Mishpatim, "V'hashvi'it tishmetena untashta." Or in simple words, you shall abandon the land. The land should be just left to be. And so, one of the big machlokot at the time of the Beit Yosef here in Eretz Israel was, it's a conceptual machloket. If the hefker is something, when the Torah says "Vashvi'it tishmetena untashta," what does it mean? That I need to, that the land belongs to me, and I need to say, this is going to be hefker. I need to do something, or the Torah itself turns it to be hefker, or as the some person called afkata de malka, like the king made it all hefker, nothing to do with what we do or not do. Is it something automatic, or something that we decide ourselves? Because usually, in general, when we're talking about monetary law, choshe mishpat, so hefker, to make something hefker is a legal procedure. You have to take a few people and say this is hefker, and it's a certain procedure you have to do. It's something, taking something out, you own it, and not taking making a statement that has a legal validity that takes it out of your ownership. So on Shemitah, do we need to do this same act, or does it happen automatically? And this was a big machloket between the Beit Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, and the Mabit of his time, and a very big machloket also has nafkaminas, also related to the Heter Mechir, which we'll refer to one of the further shiurim, where the Beit Yosef said that a person has a mitzvah, Rashmit Shmetena Untashta, it's a mitzvah on the person to turn his field into hefker, whereas the Mabit said no. It means that everything is hefker on its own right. We don't ask every person, did you make your field hefker or your garden hefker or not? It's automatically hefker. What are we paskin? A big machlok is between the achronim till these very times. And the Patash Shulchan and Menachem Mishkelov paskin like the Bes Yosef, that it's a mitzvah to do the hefker. And the Chazonish went very much to the side of the Mabit that said it's hefker on its own behalf. Two main nafkiminot that we mentioned today, out of that are derived from this machloket. What happens? First, simple one is: what if a person tells, "I don't want you to go into my garden on Shemitah"? First, a big sign up: I'm not keeping Shemitah, no entry. Okay, dog is a dog behind the fence, or whatever. A bad dog. So what is the rule? Are we allowed to take from the fruit or not? Is it hefker or not? So that is one question. The second question is what Steve mentioned before, what we got to do with Truman Meiser. Since we know that lafish tumot ma'asot, hefker is potter from Truman Meiser. So if it's a hefker automatically, so you don't have to lafish to want masot from it. But if it's not hefker, so you have to lafish to want masot. Okay. Now, sorry.
No.
Okay. Okay. With regard to what do we pass in the ma'ase? The Pe'ata Shulchan says like it. Yosef the Chazan says Chazanish says like the Mabit, lemaise we're machmir on this. That, like the Bet Yosef, that means that if a person didn't make his garden hefker, that means we can't take from his fruit. That means we can't go to any place in just a few fields and say, that I remember having Elohim a few years ago, last Shemitah, and we were passing by pomelo orchards in the Shemitah. I said, hey, let's take a few pomelos in that. And some soldiers of Tsarina were taking a few and without asking the owners. And if it's not a religious place and they didn't make the place hefker, so I mean they're not making the mitzvahs, they're avera, but if they didn't make it hefker, we're not allowed to take from it. That means you can't just go past the garden of people who didn't make the garden hefker and just take from the fruit off the tree without asking them. Okay, that's the ma'aseh on this point.
So how does one make the garden hefker?
Exactly right. So exactly. So what do we do? What do we do, Lamaise? Now, what we could say is, what theoretically we could say, we could ask the question, does the mitzvah, Vashvitish Metena und Tashta, is the mitzvah to make the fruit hefker, since the point is to be able to eat the fruit? What about the land? I mean, look, I don't have to make all my house hefker because somebody wants to eat the fruit, right? What about the garden itself? Do I need to make the garden, the land hefker, anybody to enter, whoever feels free to enter? So the Gemara says that the land has to be, we have to be mafkir the land also, but the Rishonim explained that it means mafkir the land so that people will be able to take the fruit. So the Gemara says that we don't need to break all the fences in our garden or anything like that. We don't have to take down the fences or anything of the sort, because the Gemara says tikkun ha'olam, because or else if everything is open, nothing will be left of our everything will be ruined, anybody will trample in and ruin it or whatever. What lechatchila should be done, is to leave the gate open. Okay, leave the gate open, and preferably put up a sign that anybody could come in and take from the fruits. Probably even tell them where the fruits are, to make sure not to wander around and take all the things you don't want them. They're not supposed to pick off, or they may think it's a fruit and it's not. And basically put up a sign and that people can come in and leave the gate open. If bechozot, you're afraid to leave the gate open because you're afraid burglars to come in, or cats and mice, or I don't know, no, mice can anyway come in, but cats, dogs, or whatever will come into your garden. If it's you're afraid of damages that will happen because of that, they know how to climb over a fence. The kids are and anybody who wants to, if you have any reason you want to keep your garden from dogs or animals or anything of the sort, so then you can leave the gate closed or even locked. But if you do that, you have to put a sign in the entrance. That means that anybody who wants to take putting their fruits in this garden that are Shemitah fruits, that are Hefker, and anyone who wants to take from the fruits, take from the fruits on the tree, could call the cell number or ring the bell or whatever, and we'll be happy to give the service. So like open the door. So, but that's only in the case where you really think there's going to be damages, significant damages to your garden. If not, so the main thing is, I mean, you don't have to lock the gate, just leave the gate just a bit open, and put a sign and that there's fruits and anybody could take from them. That is what should be done. As we said, could we take from other people's garden? We said that we don't take from other people's garden if we don't know they made it hefker, and we don't rely on the mabit in this case that it's automatic hefker. In this case, in any case, whenever it is hefker, if a person put up a sign like that, we can pick from the fruits, and we don't be mafrish truma and meiser. Like we said before, hefker is potter from truma and meiser. Now we spoke about the iser. We spoke about that the iser to pick the fruits is basically a prohibition on showing ownership on the land. But it doesn't mean that we're not allowed to show any ownership. That means, like I said before, we're allowed to prevent damages in the garden. It means if kids want to pick the fruits and start climbing the tree and breaking the branches or anyone thinking at you, you're allowed to tell them, hey, guys, you know, get down and we'll pick down the fruits for you. Or, you know, you're allowed to show ownership in that way that'll prevent damages, right? Prevent people from damaging the garden or anything else. So, from that point of view, it's that aspect of showing ownership is not an isur. Last two topics, which are less relevant, mamash, lamaisa, but they'll come into calculation. We talk about consuming. Consuming is buying and selling? Consuming is more eating.
Consumer.
Okay. Yeah, I knew it was something close. Okay. Obviously, we're not allowed to make business with our fruits, with our Shemitah fruits. Okay, that's as I mentioned before. I think the Torah says Lochlam Chazasei Lochla Velo Lischora. So even if we pick a bit, as I said before, we don't pick a lot, but we're not allowed to make a business out of it. You know, don't pick your lemons, make lemonade, and start selling it. Making a business out of it in the middle of the summer or whatever. Okay, so that's that. What happens? The two next terms I want to talk about, one is called Shamu and the second one is called Ne'evad. That means what happens in a case where people do not keep Shemitah as they're supposed to, and they're not mafkir the fruits and vegetables, and or they even la'alenu work in their fields on Shemitah. They upkeep not only upkeep, we said in a lot of cases is allowed, but they plant or they do things they're not allowed to do in the fields on Shemitah. So what happens in this case? So Chazal say in the Midrash Alachan Vayikra, Min hashamur ba'aretz iyata botzer. You're not allowed to pick the fruit or harvest the fruit from the shamur ba'aretz, from people who keep, from shamur. They kept it, like from people coming in. That means they didn't make it hefker. You're not allowed to pick that fruit. What does that mean? Does that mean you're not allowed to pick the fruit means you're not allowed to eat it at all? Or it means that basically it's not lechatchila, you're not allowed to pick it regularly, but also that is allowed with a shinoi, and you're allowed to eat it or not. It's a machloket Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim said in a case where people kept their didn't do hefker properly on Shemitah in their fields, in a case like that, the fruit is you're not allowed to eat the fruit at all. The fruit is asur. Other Rishonim, Rashi and Ramban, come say that we're allowed to eat the fruit. Lemaise. Okay. Lemaise, the Achronim, the Aruch HaShulchan, and the Chazonish say that Lemaise, b'di'avad, if we happen to get fruits that, and we're maybe choshesh, that they were taken from a place, for instance, we go to visit a person, I just think something practical, say you go visit a person, and he didn't do hefker properly on his garden, and he brings in a fruit to eat. Okay, he brings in a fruit from the garden to eat. So the ma'ase, it's supposed to be hefker, but he didn't do hefker properly. So the ma'ase, we're allowed to eat it. It's not also because he didn't do hefker on the garden. Okay.
But then would he have to do truma?
It's a good question. It's a good question, lichora. But lichora, it's a good question. I think not. I think in that case not. It's va'ba ba'avira lama. Why?
He was supposed to
mafkir
the field.
Right.
He didn't
mafkir
the field.
Right.
So,
yeah, but it's only if it's come mamash in the same in the context in Zvabah. Right. Yeah.
Meaning you couldn't make a mitzvah out of something that was.
Yeah. The bechol mikra the. Okay. Now I got the question. It's a good. It's a. Nachon. The Gemara gives an example of somebody who steals a dough or something and bakes a bread of it and is mafish challah. So as I know, botzeh berech niyetz Hashem. It's like cursing a Kadosh Baruch Hu to do something like that, to steal from someone and make a bracha on it. So we can steal and make it Hashem Shemayim. So that's the same type of idea, saying basically stealing from the public and not being mafkir, and then saying okay, truma samayishus. So that's basically concept you're saying. In a way, conceptually, it's basically the same idea. So with the avad, we don't answer the fruits in that case of shamu. What happens if ne'evad? Not only was a person not mafkir, but he also worked in the garden or worked in the field in a way that's forbidden on Shemitah. This is a big question. Lechatchila, if something was planted by Isra and Shemitah, it has to be uprooted. That is a din. If somebody plants something in Shemitah in a way that's Asr, when he plants a Shemitah, we're not allowed to plant a Shemitah at all. unless a certain consequence is in the house, is not connected to the ground, like we mentioned 2 weeks ago. But in any other case where it's outside or in a mishtala or anything else, so planting a shmita is forbidden. Therefore, do not buy plants at any mishtala that does not keep shmita properly. Okay. No plant buying in a place that doesn't. And even if people will give you a present of something that is most probably planted on Shemitah in a forbidden way, not to use it. Okay, not to use it. Just get rid of it. Okay. What happens when a person worked in this field and maybe even did things that are usher in Shemitah, but we're talking about the fruits arrive at the fruits. What happens to the fruits? Are the fruits asur or not? At the end, the plant should be uprooted. The tree should be uprooted for its plant to shmita shelo kadin, or for its worked with shelo kadin. It's not beseder. But what happens to the fruit? Is the fruit asur lemaise or not? So that again is a machloket rishonim between the Ramban on one hand, which usurs the fruit, and the Rambam in the Tshuva says that b'diavan it's allowed. Now in any case, what I'm talking about now is for sure we don't, even though we're going to say some of the achronim are mekel on this case in bediavad. If the fruit comes from a field that was worked on Shemitah, okay, it's mutar bediavad, you're allowed to eat the fruit. First of all, we have to remember that this fruit has kedushat shvi'it in it, number one. Number two, there could be a iser of a schora bepirot shvi'it, which I said we're not allowed to deal with pirot shvi'it. So if you go to buy, if one would go to buy in a shop that doesn't keep Shemitah, that brings Shemitah fruits, shelo kadin, so therefore you would be also over on the Isser of Schora bepirot shvi'it. That's a machloket if it's Isser only on the seller or also on the buyer. But some person you say it's also on the buyer, some say it's the buyer, it's not an Isser, but it's only Lifni Iver, Lotiten Michshol. It's an Isser on the person who's selling, and for you, it's just you're causing him to do the Isser by buying from him. So in that case, for sure that the chatchila we don't buy in any shop that sells fruit from fields that were worked on shelo kadin and shmita. Therefore, we have to buy from a shop that has a hechsher on it, a proper hechsher from where and we know where the fruit is coming from. But in what case could this be added, this kula on pirot shmurim b'diavad as a kula? In a case where where we know that the person who's selling the fruit is relying on the heter mechira. So say we don't, just for argument's sake, say we don't rely on the heter mechira, but we say since the person who's selling the fruit has some poskim to rely on, okay, has some poskim to rely on because they allow the heter mechira, and therefore even if I'm choshesh for kedushat shvi'it, even if I'm choshesh that it wasn't beseder, and I think it wasn't beseder, but bediavad the fruit is allowed. So therefore, he's not doing Isser on his side because he was told that it's okay. Okay, and from that point of view, it makes consuming Hete Mechira fruit much. We can be much more lenient on buying Hete Mechira fruit than on allowing the Hete Mechira to happen in the first place. Allowing the Hete Mechira in the first place means you need to go into a lot of shilas of selling the land. It's a person who owns the land, of selling the land, of working the land on Shemitah, and all these big questions of Shemitah. But when we're coming to buy in the shop, so basically the question is, okay, the basic question is this a Shemitah fruit or not? So even if it is, and say even if I consider the Hete Mechira to be not valid, and the land was worked wrongly, not according to Halacha, but since the poskim are makel b'diavad on this, that the fruit is mutal b'diavad to eat, so therefore we could be more lenient on when we calculate the different possibilities. But the big but here is that this only relates to fruits that have kedushat shvi'it that we are allowed to eat. But since we said before, we mentioned that there's a sur speaking, there are certain vegetables, especially vegetables, that in certain cases were worked on Shemitah or planted on Shemitah, we're not allowed to eat at all. Not that they have kedushat shvi'it. We're not allowed to eat them at all. So in that case, it wouldn't even help if we think Heter Mechira is not good. So it wouldn't even help in any case because we're not allowed to eat them at all, regardless. So this is more like conceptual ideas, which we'll put them into practice, Rav Hashem, the next shear. So let's just summarize what we saw today. Yeah, as I was saying, let's just summarize in short, and we'll take questions. We spoke about the main part of the shear went on the issur of picking fruits, and we mentioned that the issur of picking fruits is related to hefker. That means it has to be we're allowed to pick the fruits, but not in a way that shows ownership. That means we do a shinui, two types of shinui. If I usually in a shinui in the way I pick it, that means if I usually pick it in a sophisticated way, so I'll take it in a more simple way. Shears, I'll take a knife or by hand. Second shinui, which is a more important one, that we take only the amount we need to eat for a few days, as a definition of the Chazon Ish. We spoke about the fact that the dates that this issur of picking the fruit is relevant is the Kedushat Shvi'it dates. That means regarding vegetables, it is from the beginning of Shemitah to the end of Shemitah, vegetables that we're allowed to eat in Shemitah, but it will probably be only relevant at the beginning of the year for vegetables we're allowed to eat in Shemitah, because vegetables that that come at the later in the year are vegetables that are grown on their own or are planted on Shemitah, which is asur b'chol mikra to eat at all. But regarding fruit, it'll mean that probably from about the middle of the year of Shemitah till the middle of the year after Shemitah, we'll have Kedushat Shvi'it in the fruit, and then and the picking Isser will be valid there. With regard to doing Hefker on a garden, we mentioned the machloket between the Beit Yosef and the Mabit. If it's a mitzvah to do Hefker or it's automatic Hefker, we said that we pass him the Chumrah, that we have to do the Hefker. That means we don't take any fruits from places where we don't know if the person made his garden Hefker or not. On the other hand, from our side, if we have a garden with fruit tree in it, so we should leave the gate open, or at least put up a sign that enables people who want to take the fruit to take the fruit, or by calling us, or by entering, explaining to them how to enter the place and where to take from. And we spoke about the two concepts of shamu v'nevad, fruit that was kept, not min mafkir on Shemitah, or was even land that was worth on Shemitah. We said that b'diavad, we're makil to eat the fruit on Shemitah. I've got a question.
So is Hetamachia fruit, does it have Kedushat Shvi'it?
Good question.
If you're
relying on the Heter Mechira, what I was saying is that
if you're not relying
on it, then it does have.
It does.
Right. Well, that's a big machlok. We'll talk next time. I don't know if it'll be next week or in 2 weeks' time. There's another big machlok between the Beit Yosef and the Mabit. If what grows in the land of Goyim has Kedushat Shvi'it or not. That's the big argument regarding that. And your question is related to that. So we'll elaborate, because it is a sophisticated sukkah.
What about hydroponics?
What?
Hydroponically.
Yiddish was mean. Sorry.
Hydroponically.
Maybe what? In water?
In water.
Yeah.
Like on spaceships.
I don't know. What are you talking about? Sprouts?
There are certain vegetables that can be grown not in the soil, but in water.
No connection to soil at all.
As far as I know, no connection to soil at all.
Like what?
I don't think there'll be a problem, but there. I don't think it'll be a problem. I mean, we spoke about the point of having a plant in the house, and separated from the ground.
Right.
Today, what we have there is what's called matzah menutak. That a lot of tomatoes dafke are grown in hot houses,
right.
Houses, not exactly regular hot houses, but specially covered hot houses, and separated from the ground, up elevated, and with the nylon under them.
Right.
In that case, it's called matzah menutak. So that is, we're usually matir that. There are some poskim that are machmir on that also, but basically most poskim give a heter for that. If something would be grown in water, lichora, it wouldn't have a problem. I don't think it would be a problem. I mean, from svar, but probably have to look into it. Is there a relevant to the mice question? Or you have in the house, or
if you find something hydroponic that's grown hydroponically in Deal Bazaar. Can I buy it?
Well, Divazol probably have a Tzara Aritz anyway, so...
Yeah,
so. Okay. Yeah, then they have an agreement for next year. Okay.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah.
When's
the last day
you
have
planted
tomatoes?
Good question. I need to check that out. I don't know exactly the... I mean, basically vegetables in general is 3 days before. Until it's mashish.
How much before?
3 days, as far as I remember.
3 days?
I think so, yeah.
Not 30.
I don't think so. I need to check it out. But
what about orange? What
What about picking tomatoes next year?
So tomatoes that were, in general, tomatoes that were planted enough ahead of time, it doesn't mean there was mutar to plant them, but that it arrived at a certain amount of growth before Shemitah, there we're allowed to eat them as Shemitah. Okay, you can harvest them only bit by bit, okay, because as we said, vegetables go by when you harvest them, but like for eating as much as you need to eat. But it depends, there's a certain table, I need to check that out, but it has to get to arrive at a certain amount of growth before Shemitah, unless, or else it's considered a svichin, which is forbidden totally to eat on Shemitah.
Okay.